Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
We love Arjun for his heart for serving the house and his ability to disciple the next generation. And there are just so many people, Arjun, who you've sowed seeds into and who you are sowing seeds into now, where you yourself will never know the fruit. But I look at all these people who are hanging on your each and every word, and I think it's because you're a reflection of Jesus to them. And you love people no matter where they're at, no matter what their background is, no matter what their culture is, ethnicity, age, whatever. You see people and you love people how Jesus would love them. And so we want to honor you for that. I know you got an incredible word today. Preach it, bro. Can we give a round of applause for Arjun?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good to be in the house. Gareth, he always says a lot of things and he always roasts me. Half of these things aren't true. But I love him anyway. He loves me. It's a banter relationship that we have. Love you, Gaz. Pastor Gareth. It's a great time. How are you doing today, church? So good to see you all in the house. We've got a full house. We're going to get into the Word of God today. It's going to be great. I really believe that by the end of this message, I'm going to give you the spoiler. I really believe that by the end of this message that we would all come to a deeper value, a deeper understanding, a deeper revelation of the worth of Jesus Christ. He is worthy of everything. He is worthy of our lives. He died to free us and to save us. And our only response should be to give Him all of our heart, all of our praise, all of our worship, our life and our entirety. And so I really hope that by the end of this message that you guys got that, because this is something that's God's, I guess, burdened my heart for the past few weeks about. So I'm going to share my scripture with you this morning. It's Matthew 13, verse 44. Should be on the screen. And this is going to be our anchor today. Matthew 13, verse 44, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all that he had and he bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and he bought it." The title of my message, if you're taking notes this morning, is All In. All In. All In. Let's pray. Why don't you bow your heads, close your eyes, let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you're here today. God, I thank you that you're with us. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence, that when two or three are gathered, there you are, Jesus, in the midst. God, we ask that you'd open our eyes to see your word this morning, that you'd open our ears to hear your voice and hear what you want us to say. God, we ask that you'd soften our hearts to your word this morning, God. We ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, God, to abide with us this morning, God. And we ask, Jesus, that you would teach us that you alone deserve our entire lives. You alone deserve all the praise, all the worship, all the honor, because you are King, Jesus. So God, we invite you into this place. We ask God, you have your way in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Wow. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Arjun. I'm 24. I'm a part of the youth ministry. I've been doing it since 2013, coming up for our Myrie campus. And now here, I've been at Belmont for 2 years and I've really grown part of the furniture with Belmont. I love my Belmont fam. I'm an electrician. And I actually didn't come from a Christian family. I came from a Sikh background. I used to have long hair, a turban, the emblems. I used to have the whole lot, but God radically changed my life and saved me. It wasn't until I was 15 years old that I first actually heard the term Jesus in Nations Youth in the Melville Civic Center, this old building, this old Hyde Hall. I actually went there last night for one of my mate's birthdays. It was like a blast from the past seeing what God was doing, you know, in 2011 when I was there. And I met so many people who, you know, even though I was different, even though I looked different, even though I believed different, they believed in me. They loved me anyway. They gave me the time of day. They journeyed with me. They walked with me. I had leaders who sat in the car until really late at night, just chatting with me and working through with me in my life and praying for me. And I really believe that it was the place where I really, you know, found my weight on Jesus. Let me tell you guys, Nations Youth. If you have teenagers, or if you are a teenager in this place, Nations Youth on a Friday night is where you want to be. Let me tell you, it changed my life being in that place where there's so many other people around me, so many other leaders who love me and want to encourage me, so many friends I could meet that are actually godly, or it's not, you know, like every other party scene that you'd see on a Friday night. It's like a Holy Ghost party, but better, you know, not in the weird way. You know, it's a great time. It's a great time to be out on a Friday night. So I really want to encourage you, if you're a student in this place or if you have students, send your students to Nations Youth. It was. I had so many friends who encouraged me. They spoke life into me, and you know, just as iron sharpens iron, so too a friend sharpens another one. Right? We need people in our life. We need people who are on the same wavelength, people who are God fearing, people who believe in Jesus, and honestly as well, like people that we can relate to and have encourage us that aren't just our parents and our teachers. There's you know, I know when I was younger, you know, like going to your parent is hard sometimes, and I'm sure everyone in this room had that understanding that there's just some things that, you know, you want someone your age to talk about and share with and confide with. And let me tell you, youth is the place to send your teenagers. So send them down. But yeah, it wasn't until about 4 weeks of me actually coming to youth that I actually made my decision to follow Jesus. You know, I was still easing into it. I didn't know what was going on. I still have a turban. I still had long hair. But I made that decision at the back, you know, 4 weeks in. I was like, hey, Jesus, I want to believe in you. I want to follow you. And that started my journey, my faith journey. But I believe it wasn't until October of 2011, Nations Youth Conference, that Pastor Julian Curtisingham was speaking. You might know him. He's the pastor now of Kingdom City, Canning Vale. And he was an amazing leader I look up to. I still take pleasure every time I see him. We have this little running joke because his last name is Curtising. My last name is Singh. And it's just, it's a fun time. He was a great guy, and he was speaking this message about the life of Jacob, that Jacob's entire life, it climaxed at this point where he had a face-to-face encounter with the Spirit of God. And he said, God, I can't let you go until you bless me. He refused to let God go until he received what he needed from God. And he left that day forever marked, forever changed. His name was forever changed to Israel, and he had a wrench in his hip. His hip was wrenched out of place, and he went out of that place with a limp for the rest of the days of his life, but he walked out the plans and the purposes of God. And so here I am, Julian's delivering this message, and he comes to the end, and he's giving this massive altar call salvation appeal, and I'm just standing there like, Jesus, I give my life, I give everything, God, I need you, I don't want to let you go until you bless me. And literally for like 30 minutes, my hands are raised, because like, this was like my act. Like if Jacob can wrestle with God all night, surely I can lift my hands for 30 minutes, right? But I was going and my arms were giving out, my shoulders were aching and killing me. I was like, no, Jesus, I can't. I don't know why. I just put so much effort on that moment. And, you know, the stand was probably playing in the background. You know, the chorus, I'll stand with arms high. Heart of band. It was hard. You know, it was adding fuel to the fire. But I had this desperate encounter with Jesus where I decided that I was all in for him, and I never looked back. Praise God for youth ministry, right? Youth ministry is a great time. I'm going to take you to the Bible, to the story of Zacchaeus. Some of you might know him. If you don't, I want to give you a brief rundown. He was a rich man. He was a wealthy man. He was a tax collector. And what you should know about tax collectors in that time is that they were actually employed by the Romans to obviously tax the Jews. But because they were employed by the Romans to tax the Jews would have seen them as enemies. It's like, why are you taxing us? Why are you ripping us off? But then also tax collectors had a habit of actually cheating the Jews. They would actually claim more money in fees. They would take more money in taxes for themselves more than they actually needed to. And so tax collectors was known as the sinners, unrighteous. They were known to be against the Jews. And so here Zacchaeus is, he's a chief tax collector. And so obviously he's in charge of people who cheat people, and he might have also cheated people. And so he had a bad reputation all around. Just no one liked him. He was like, mate, what are you doing? But here he has an encounter with Jesus. We're going to go there in Luke 19. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. It might be on the screen. Should be on the screen. Great. So verse 19, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. Short like me. And so he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he is going to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Powerful passage. You know what we get from this is Zacchaeus, the tax collector, Zacchaeus, the cheat, Zacchaeus, the sinner, saw Jesus from afar, and he was so desperate for him that he said, no, I'm going to give up everything I have. I'm going to give up half my possessions. And if I've cheated anybody of anything, I will pay back them four times the amount. He was so desperate for Jesus that he couldn't have it any other way but to surrender his entire life to him. You know, he would have heard about Jesus. He would have heard about this man who performs miracles, this man who teaches about the kingdom of God, this man who claims to be the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. He would have heard about this man. Rumors would have gone throughout all of Israel, all of Jerusalem, all of Judea about this man named Jesus who was a bit of a troublemaker, but he believed himself to be the Son of God. And he decided, even based on that, that all of this stuff that he had, his shoes, his clothes, his house, his possessions, his money, was no comparison to the weight of Jesus, the Son of God in the flesh, standing in front of him. There was no comparison. And he did it without even being asked. Why do I say that? If you know Luke, chapter of Luke, one chapter earlier, literally the previous town, Jesus is walking through and a man known as the rich young ruler approaches him. Kate actually talked about this morning. It's like, whoa, so similar. It's crazy. The rich young ruler. And he comes up to Jesus. He's a man with power. He's a man with authority. He's a man with money. And he comes up to Jesus and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Let's read it. Luke 18. A certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All of these I've kept since I was a boy, he said. But when Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it is easier for the camel to fit through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard this asked, who then can be saved? But Jesus replied, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Jesus told the ruler that he must give up everything and follow him, but the man went away sad. Salvation didn't come to that man's house. What was the difference? Why? Why was there a difference there? The answer, I believe, is found in Matthew 13, verse 44, our anchor verse for this morning, where it says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and he sold all that he had, and he bought the field. The rich young ruler wanted the treasure of the kingdom of heaven without paying any of the cost. But Zacchaeus was willing to give up everything for it. Zacchaeus was willing to give up everything for the treasure of the kingdom of heaven. You know, the first question the rich young ruler asked was, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It was on his mind. He wanted to know if he was really saved. You know, just because he kept the commandments, just because he did all this, he's like, have I really inherited eternal life? But when Jesus asked him to give up his life for the sake of Christ, he actually completely missed it. He completely missed the point. He loved his stuff and his security and his authority and his power and his money and the things of the world more than he valued the treasure that could only be found in Jesus who was standing right in front of him. You know, this is probably an example. We're building our future right now. This is probably an example of being unable to serve God and money. You can't have two masters. Only one can truly be your master. But Zacchaeus, on the other hand, was all in. He was all in for the treasure of the kingdom of God that was in front of him, and that everything else in his life, it absolutely paled in comparison. He saw the value and the worth that was only found in Jesus, and in that moment, it couldn't be found in anything else. The kingdom of heaven, the treasure, eternal life, it can't be found in anything that we own or have or even ourselves and our good behavior. The kingdom of heaven can only be found in Jesus Christ. It can only be found in himself. The rich young ruler, he went away still rich, still a ruler, but sad, with no salvation. But Zacchaeus went away with joy, giving his life, giving everything that he had for the sake of Christ. Jesus said in John 12, verse 25, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And it's not like we hate this life, that we're destructive with it, that we toss it aside, that we're wasteful, that we say, oh, okay, well, God's giving me everything, so I'm just going to blow it all on all this stuff. No. We hate our life just because it's not ours anymore. For those of us who believe, our life is actually not ours anymore. It's actually been bought at the highest of prices. And we live it for him. and we lay it down willingly to glorify Jesus. You know, I was reading the commentary of my study Bible about this verse, John 12, 25, and it was really helpful what it says. It says, we must disown the tyrannical rule of our own self-centeredness by laying aside our striving for advantage, our striving for security and pleasure. Then we can serve God lovingly and freely, releasing control of our lives and transferring control to Christ to bring eternal life and genuine joy. Our lives are best left fully in control of the one who created it and died for it. Come on, church. Best left in control. But it's true, just like the rich young ruler, you know, many of us, we want to be justified without paying any cost. Jesus asks us to lay down our life, pick up our cross, and follow him. And we're like, Jesus, no, that's too hard. I can't do that. He asks us to leave those unhealthy relationships. And we're like, no, Jesus, I love that relationship. It's so good. Jesus is like, no, you know, it's like, nope. He asks us to be generous, building our future. We're like, nah, too hard. He asks us to tithe. Nah, too hard. He asks us to forgive others when, just like he forgave us, even though we didn't even deserve it. Nah, too hard, Jesus, I can't forgive that person. He asks us to love others, just like how he loved us and he willingly gave up his life for us. We're like, nah, Jesus, I can't love that person, what they did for me, what they did to me. He asks us to stop being so prideful and to choose him. And we're like, nah, God, I'm going to do whatever I want, thanks. And that's literally pride in that statement, talking. He tells us to repent and to stop choosing and planning to willingly sin, to stop planning it, even when we know it's bad for us. And we're like, Jesus, nah, I can't do that. I love that sin too much. Like, what? How is this? This is a matter of eternal life and death. He says he'll give us his Holy Spirit. He says he'll give us the Spirit of truth who will strengthen us, who will lead us into all truth, who will guide us, who will empower us. He's the one who makes us more than a conqueror, sons and daughters of God. And we don't even want to let him into our life to help us get over these things. We don't even want to let him. We hang on to our little life, this speck that we have in the glimpse of eternity so much that Jesus isn't even near the top of the priority list. He's not even near the top. We want Jesus and the hope that he offers. We want Jesus and the life that he offers. We want to be accepted into his family and we want to have our sins forgiven. But we don't want to repent. We don't want to die to ourselves and we don't want to truly live for him. We don't really want to live for him. We just want him to live and die for us. And it's something I see. It's something I see so much. We don't want to live for him. We just want to receive the grace, receive forgiveness. And grace is good. Grace is what? Grace is his kindness. His grace is what leads us to repentance. But we can't sit on grace forever while we're sitting there still willingly sinning, willingly walking away from God. We live this lukewarm life of saying we're a Christian and believing in Jesus, but not actually laying our life down for him. And we're going to be shocked when we come to the end of our life, where in Revelations 3, he says, because you're neither hot nor cold, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth, Jesus says. It's not my words. Please just read Revelations 3. Please just read it. But he says at the end, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will eat with that person and they with me. Be earnest. Don't lie to yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Don't think that just because you attend church that's enough, or just that you believe in God or a God that it's enough. Let me tell you that if you're here in this place and if you wrestle with your sin, that's a good thing. Let me tell you that if you're here and you yearn to live rightly by God, and if you love him and if you hate your sin every time you do it, let me tell you that's a good thing. You are repentant. You're in the right place. You're being sanctified. You're being made like Christ. And as you draw near to him, you'll become more like him. You know, Kate preached a message this morning, set apart, that we're not set apart to say no to something. We're set apart to say yes to something. And doing so, we say no to something else. When we're set apart, we're sanctified to become more like Jesus Christ himself. We seek after him. He's the goal. He's the treasure. He's the pursuit. Not sinning. He's the treasure. But I have to say, church, if it's not even on your radar that you're living for yourself, or that you don't care that you're living in sin, or if you want to keep on sinning, or if you want to keep living this lukewarm life away from God, you know you need to come back to him. You know week after week after week that you need to come back and you need to lay your life down before him again. Then I would say, and you're not doing that, then I would say you're in some pretty dangerous territory. And I pray that you come back, you give your life to Jesus, you completely surrender it again to him. You know, repenting, it's not this crazy thing. It's just turning away. It's like I was walking this way, I was living my life my way, I was doing what I want. Jesus convicts me, he snaps me, and then I turn and I decide, okay, Jesus, I'm gonna walk and I'm gonna live for you. It's not this crazy thing that people have made it out to be. It's just turn. Turn from living the way that we're living. Okay, Jesus, I'm going to turn and I'm going to live for you. I'm going to walk towards you. And yeah, I might be tempted. I might struggle. I might look back that way. But no, Jesus, my eyes are fixed on you. My gaze is fixed on you. I'm going to chase after you. Jesus is the prize. Jesus is the treasure. Jesus is the goal. Jesus is the pursuit. Be all in for him this morning, church, and for the rest of your lives. Salvation didn't come to the house of the rich young ruler who didn't want to pay any cost for it. It came to the house of Zacchaeus, who was willing to give up everything for it. He was willing to give up his pride. He was willing to give up his sin. He was willing to give up his money. He was willing to give up his possessions. He was willing to give up everything for the sake of the treasure that was in front of him. With joy, just like Zacchaeus, just like the man in the story about with the treasure, with joy we can do these things because Christ died for us. All in. Everybody say all in. You know, Paul had some things to say about living this life, but he was actually more like the rich young ruler, though. He was a high-ranking Pharisee, so he would have had money, he would have had power, he lived perfectly according to the law. He was a Pharisee, he was a Jew of Jews, and he actually would have boasted in the fact of how good he was and how he was more righteous than everybody else. But when Jesus showed up in his life, he realized his priorities were all wrong. That the entire worth of his life, the value of his life should only have been found in Jesus. You know, life isn't about how good you can be. It's about how good he has already been to us when he sent his son, Jesus, to die for us. So let's read Philippians 3, verse 3. For it is we who are the circumcision, who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. So we don't put confidence in our good behavior, our deeds, what we can do. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks they have more reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. So now he's boasting. He says, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee, he upheld the law perfectly. He knew it inside and out. As for zeal, I was persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains or riches to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. I consider it loss. I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, dung, feces, refuse, poo, crap, that I might gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law and my good behavior and my good deeds, but that which is through faith only in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection, and participate in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained all this, and I think nor have any of us, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on. I press on to take hold of that which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Let me tell you, church, the goal is Jesus. The prize is Jesus. The pursuit is Jesus. The treasure is Jesus. Let's be all in for him this morning, church. Come on. Worship team, are you already here? Great. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Catherine. Give me something. I was at, I was at Power and Love in November, I believe. Power and Love with Todd White. He was there. And the very first night we went, a man by the name of William Hinn was speaking. Benny Hinn's cousin. You might know the name Benny Hinn. William Hinn was speaking. And he was speaking this message really similar to everything that I have shared this morning, that Jesus, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, came and he died on a sinner's death on a cross for our sake so that we could not live for ourselves, that we could live, be born again, be new creations and live entirely and solely for him, that our life is not our own anymore. It was bought with the highest of prices, that we are called as Christians now to live as a new creation, to die to ourselves, to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. It's all about Jesus. that we should come back to the altar, come back to the front, and give our lives completely, solely again to Jesus, to repent of how we've been living for ourselves, to repent how we've been living for our way and our life. And here I am. It's an hour and a half long message. Like, just the message. Like, you guys think church is already long with an hour and a half? The message itself was an hour and a half long. So maybe, like, the whole service was, like, 3 hours. Some of you would be like, oh, no. An hour and a half long. And about half an hour before the end, he actually starts wrapping up, and I know exactly where he's going, and I know that I need to be right at the front. I know I need to be right there on my knees, flat on my face, giving it all to God. And for 20 minutes, I'm sitting there wrestling, and I'm saying, God, I don't know what people will think of me. This is not my church. I'm not comfortable here. God, I don't want to do it. God, I don't want to stand out. God, I don't want to be called out. God, I don't want to have all eyes on me when I do that. God, I can't do it. God, I can't. I know you want me to. I know you need me to, God, but I can't. I'm too insecure of myself right now. I can't do it. I can't do that in front of everybody else. And Holy Spirit spoke to me. And he said to the effect of fear of man or fear of God. And so for 20 minutes, I'm wrestling. And after that, I was like, God, I've had enough. I can't sit here and make excuses anymore. And so from there, I just marched straight up the front. I got down on my knees right at the front. And I was like, Jesus, this life is yours. It's yours, Jesus. This life is yours. Everything I have is yours. God, I'm sorry I've been living life on my own. I'm sorry I've been living life for myself. I'm sorry I've been living my way. I'm sorry I've been indulging in my sin and not wanting to turn for it. God, I'm sorry. I repent. I turn to you, God. I give this life fully to you, Jesus. Fully to you. And I'm just there. I'm crying. I'm weeping. I can't not live this life for Jesus. You know, maybe you're here and you're already feeling the weight of the Holy Spirit pressing on you, saying that this morning is the morning, today is the day, that now is the time where you're deciding, I don't care what anybody else thinks of me. I don't care how people look at me. I'm going to get down on my knees, flat on my face, and God, I'm going to surrender it all to you, God. I'm sorry, I repent. So why don't you all stand to your feet this morning, church? You know, the verse that we didn't touch on this morning, we brought it up, was the second half of Matthew 13. It talks about the merchant. It talks about the merchant who was actually on the lookout, on the pursuit for the fine pearl. When he found the pearl of great value, he gave up everything to buy that pearl. And let me tell you, I mean, what God revealed to me anyway is that the merchant in this story could actually be seen as God, who the Father, he saw you. He saw you. He saw that you were separate from him. He saw that you needed to be reconciled back to him. He saw that you needed to be a part of his family. And so he sent his son Jesus, and he bankrupted heaven. He got rid of his son. He let his son die a sinner's death on the cross for your sake, so he could have you, so he could save you, so he could have you a part of his family, so he could give you eternal life. That was the merchant. He put him up as a sacrifice, holy and blameless, so he could have us. So he could have us, church. And what is our response to that? What is our response to this love he gives us? It should be nothing short than our lives, the entirety, all of our worship, all that we are. It should be nothing less, nothing short. Jesus doesn't want us to be people who only give him a fraction of our lives, a fraction of our worship, a fraction of our time, a fraction of our sin and the things that we struggle with. He deserves it all. He deserves the entirety. For those who believe, if you're in this place and you believe, if you believe in Jesus, our lives have been bought by his blood. It's not ours anymore. We have decided, Jesus, I'm giving this life to you so I can have your life. God, I don't want my life anymore, God. I'm a new creation. I believe in you, Jesus, and I receive your life. We are not our own. This life belongs to him. And it's time, church, that we truly give it over. It's time, church, that we stop living for our time, our lives, our schedules, our pride, our sin, our timelines, our money, what we want, our pride, and everything else. And we start living for the one who is worth all of that. He's worth all of it. Zacchaeus was the one in the story who found the treasure of great worth. And he decided, Lord, everything that I have is insignificant compared to you. I'm willing to give all to you. He found the treasure. He found the treasure. So won't we be the ones this morning who come before Jesus, who come before the cross, who come before the altar and say, you are worth everything, Jesus. You're worth everything. Won't we be that people this morning, church? Everything I have is yours. Everything I am is yours. Everything I own is yours, Jesus. Won't we be the ones who fall flat on our face in worship and decide to and declare, Jesus, everything I have is yours. So we're going to sing this song. We're going to sing this bridge. And if that's you, I want you to come straight to the front. Don't respond to me. Don't respond to my voice. Respond to the Holy Spirit convicting you this morning that everything of yours is actually His. That you need to give everything back over to Him. That you need to give your lives back over to Him. You need to trust Him with everything because He died for you. He saved you. He purchased you. He's not going to let you go. He's not going to let you fall. So come back to God this morning and decide to declare that everything that He has is that you have is His. Jesus, we build our life. We build our life upon You, God. We build our life solely upon You, Jesus. It is a firm foundation. Why don't You come to the front? Why don't You come to the front? Get on your knees if you need to.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.